You.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. So I'm going to start the homily tonight with one of my favorite topics. You've heard me talk about this before, but I think it's necessary, especially in the context of the beginning of the season of Lent and the readings that we have on this first Sunday of Lent. It's a theme that comes out of the fathers of the church from the patristic period, which is usually about the first 400 years after Christ. It's this idea that God created man as one reality, as only one unity. He didn't create a bunch of individuals. He created man, or with that capital M that we used to use before, when we could still use these words, or mankind, we could say human. The Word becomes flesh. God becomes man. Christ became more than a man, however. He became mankind itself. Christ was more than just a human person. He became humanity itself. The fathers understood the parable of the Good Shepherd in this way, that the 99 sheep that he left behind were the armies of angels in heaven. And he went out to go and look for the lost sheep, which was mankind. Not a single person, but mankind itself. And that going out itself was the incarnation. So they thought of humanity as more like an organism of many cells. All the cells were intimately connected. What one does affects all, for better or for worse. Every sin we commit affects everyone in humanity. Every good deed we are able to do benefits all of humanity. I tried to think of a couple of examples. You could put maybe some lemon juice into a glass of water, and it immediately permeates every bit of that water that's in the glass. Or maybe the example of cancer. One cancer cell in the body affects the entire body. The entire body can get sick. The entire body can die. Not just the one cell, but the entire body. So in the second reading today, St. Paul really labors this concept. And I asked that the lectors read the long form so that you hear how he just repeats the same thing over and over. He's trying to get us to think about this concept that in Adam, all sinned. Because of the sin of Adam, all people became sinners. And there wasn't a whole lot of hope for millennia. But St. Paul says the truth works both ways. The healing of one is also the healing of all. To own the first is to own the second. The Son of Man, to reverse the fact of Adam's sin, to remedy original sin, became a man, but also became mankind. A human, but also humanity. Sinless, like the first Adam, Jesus, the second Adam, enters the garden. And like the first Adam, Jesus, in the gospel today, is tempted in his humanity. It's amazing to think about this, that the voice of the devil speaking to Jesus was exactly the same voice that was heard by Adam and Eve. Because the devil doesn't change. Who was present to Adam and Eve in that first garden is now present to Jesus in the desert. But this time, mankind in Christ is victorious. So often people ask, why was Jesus baptized? Well, as a human person, he didn't need it. But remember, our choices affect everyone. Jesus, as a man, didn't need it, thanks to the mercy of God in the Immaculate Conception of his mother, Mary. He was born without original sin, so he was on an equal level with Adam in the original garden. As a man, he didn't need baptism, but humanity needed to be baptized. So he opens the door to us in our individual choices, our free will, to choose to be members of his body. And in the same way in Adam's sin, all became sinners. Therefore, in Jesus' righteousness, all become righteous. St. Paul says it over and over, but he finally says, but the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? The other question that you might ask is, why was Jesus tempted? Did the devil actually think that he could win over the Son of God? I think this is a more interesting question. So I was thinking about this. I think the mystery of the God-man Jesus is just as mysterious to all other creatures as it is to us. I think that the devil didn't really understand who Jesus was. But he had to try, like he tried with Adam. Because after all, he was victorious over God's new and at the time unknown new creation of Adam and Eve. Undoing the failure of the first Adam, Jesus shows this new humanity to be resilient and capable to be free from sin due to temptation. He is our superpower in the fight against evil, and we can win. So in our reflection today, we think about Jesus' 40 days in the desert. We think about the Hebrews' 40 years in the desert as they were passing from the waters of the Red Sea, that image of baptism, to the promised land, which is salvation. We think about our 40 days of Lent, and we realize that now is the time of testing. Like Jesus after baptism, we live the hunger and thirst of the desert. Lent helps us to understand this struggle and our humility in admitting that we are helpless without God. There was one other thing. I gave this homily already at Greenspring on Friday. And at the time I said, well, I noticed this line. I never really paid attention to it before. It says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And I said, I'm going to think about that because I really don't know what that means. And I was having a conversation this afternoon with our organist, Priscilla. She says, I think I have it figured out. She said, if you go back to Genesis, you see what the final word was after Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. God placed his angels there as guards to keep them out. And here, victorious over the devil this time, the angels come and they wait on him in the desert. So it's the relationship is healed. It's completely healed. At the end of these 40 days, we will gather on that first day of resurrection, the promise of salvation, and we will renew the profession of faith that either we made or was made for us at our own baptism. In that profession of faith of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we claim our own new identity as a member of Christ's body, the new humanity that lives in God. Now, on this first weekend of Lent, we have the special privilege, I think, of being able to celebrate what we call the Rite of Sending. There are three people from our community who are going to be received into the catechumenate by Bishop Burbage tomorrow at the cathedral, and they're preparing to receive baptism and confirmation and Eucharist at the Easter Vigil Mass. And so we're now going to have the rite of sending.